Hello, I'm Eileen McHugh with the BBC News. President Trump has confirmed that Mike Waltz is leaving his post as US National Security Advisor. Mr. Waltz has been under pressure since he mistakenly added a journalist to a group chat where sensitive military plans were discussed in breach of security protocols. He's to be nominated as the next ambassador to the United Nations. Anthony Zerker is in Washington.
It's a soft landing for Waltz. I think it's also an indication that Donald Trump, while he is acknowledging that that national security advisor is not going to work out for Waltz, that he doesn't feel betrayed by him. He doesn't feel like he is someone who needs to be punished necessarily, as just moved farther away from Washington. It's not a promotion, certainly, but it is at least not an embarrassing dismissal like some of the firings we saw in that first Trump presidential term.
The director of the World Health Organization has warned that abrupt cuts in funding are sowing chaos in public health. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said crises such as Ebola and the COVID pandemic showed the need for a multilateral approach. He urged wealthy countries not to turn their backs on the world's poorest and most vulnerable. The boss of Apple says he expects President Trump's tariffs will cost his company almost $1 billion in the current quarter, despite many tech goods being exempted from the charges. Tim Cook said Apple was rapidly reconfiguring its supply chain, as Lily Giamani reports.
Apple CEO Tim Cook told investors Thursday that it was racing to overhaul its supply chain. The country of origin for most iPhones sold in the U.S. will now be India, and Vietnam for iPads, Mac computers, and Apple Watches sold here. The Trump administration had wanted production to come to the United States. While the company is making hundreds of billions of dollars of investments in the U.S., the vast majority of the company's supply chain will remain outside of the nation's borders for now.
Votes are being counted in a series of local elections in Britain, which are being seen as the first meaningful test for the governing Labour Party. The two main parties are braced for a possible bruising from the populist Reform UK. Here's Harry Farley.
These elections decide who will hold significant local powers over social care, transport and education, but they'll also give us an insight into our wider politics. The last time these seats were contested in 2021, the Conservatives enjoyed record results. That support has fallen dramatically, so they expect to lose many seats. Labour are not defending many councils, but do control four of the six mayoralties being elected. One big question for both main parties' fortunes is, can Nigel Farage's Reform UK translate support in opinion polls for real votes?
This is the latest world news from the BBC. President Trump has called for a global boycott of Iranian oil and oil products after the fourth round of nuclear talks with Tehran was postponed. Mr. Trump threatened any country that ignored his call with secondary sanctions. The Iranian foreign minister said the decision to postpone talks had been taken together with negotiators from the US and Oman. A Supreme Court judge in Brazil has ruled that the former president, Fernando Collor de Mello, who's been given a 9-year prison term for corruption, will serve his sentence under house arrest. Last week, he was sent to a security prison in his home state of Alagoas, but the judge said the 75-year-old ex-president is in extremely poor health. The American intelligence agency, the CIA, has published two Chinese language videos aimed at enticing officials to leak Beijing's secrets to the United States. They depict fictional scenes in which Chinese officials become disillusioned with the communist system and approach the CIA. The veteran radio presenter Julian Marshall has signed off from the BBC after 51 years with the World Service. He began his career in the 1970s, reporting across Africa for the BBC's African service. Marshall returned to London, presenting Focus on Africa for many years before becoming one of the founding presenters of NewsHour. At the end of his final programme on Thursday night, he bid his listeners farewell.
I shall miss you and indeed all my colleagues, past and present, when I shortly walk out of the building in central London, which houses our studios. And I shall also miss you, the listeners, who are at the heart of everything we do for the past 35 years. So for the very last time, that's it from this edition of NewsHour. From me, Julian Marshall, and the rest of the team in London, goodbye.
BBC World News.